Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Jonathan Aguilar, and I'm with Kansas State University, off campus, and working more on extension. And I think I'll touch a little bit of those questions, and hopefully not in as much. But I'll shift gear in a while. Most of the previous speakers have talked about our research, and I'll probably be in the middle between the tools that the farmers could use and the research that are out there. So. And then most of my presentation will be focusing more on the tools that we have in Kansas, but at the same time I'll touch base with some other tools that are available in our region. So just an overview, I'll touch base with irrigation management, crop management tools that are available out there, irrigation scheduling tools. I think that's a very nice segue to James' presentation, and other tools and strategies that the farmers could actually use, and actually we could actually involve some of them in our view. So just to point, just to be concise in some of our discussions in irrigation management, we are actually just looking at some of the questions here: the where, which is actually what's the drop height, the surface or subsurface, the where you apply the water. How do you apply the water? And probably the most important questions in irrigation management is the when and how much. And these are the things that I think James has touched base a little bit, is when we are talking about irrigation, ET, it's just one of the tools, and probably we are just trying to improve our efficiency in trying to answer the when question in this irrigation management. And just to touch base about what types of irrigation system, frequently we are asked by farmers, so what's the economic benefit of going from surface irrigation to maybe SDI compared with a center pivot? And there are some tools that we could probably show them in terms of money, of looking at the economic return of those investment that they are doing. Other types of tools that are available out there would be the energy and fuel cost decision tools, in order to change from one type of fuel type to another and making some changes along the way. But anyway, going back again to the irrigation management, we've heard a lot of the technology and the advancement that we've had there, but I think there's no good technology that doesn't have any good management, and I think those have to work hand in hand. You might have the best cell phone, but if you don't answer it, I think that lays to waste. And then keeping the irrigation system similar to just having a car that's well maintained, I think that's probably the best way that we could encourage some of the producers or the irrigators in order to make it more efficient and more optimum in terms of their operating condition. And then, as we try to manage the when do we apply and how much do we apply, then we utilize some sensors and technology in order to process those information and make some implementation and management strategies. And that would boil me down to some issues about the irrigation scheduling. But before I go directly to the irrigation scheduling, there are still some things that you could do before we actually plant the crops in the field. But in some cases, the irrigation scheduling would I showed this slide to some of the farmers, and I was surprised that there were still some farmers that were laughing at it, because some of them are still true in some of their applications, especially the after the water office or the GMD schedules a visit, which is like the water police in Kansas. There are still some inefficiencies in some of the irrigation system, but I guess I hope this is not the irrigation scheduling that we are talking about. When we talk about irrigation scheduling, as I mentioned, we are talking about the when and the how much, and it is the process of trying to know how much water to be applied. But as we have heard from some of the speakers, how does deficit irrigation play in this definition? Where does deficit irrigation, limited irrigation, play in this definition? And I think we should have another view of irrigation scheduling in terms of the process of delaying any unnecessary irrigation with the hope that the cropping season will end before the next irrigation system is needed. What's the difference between the two? It's like looking at a glass half full or half filled or half empty. On the first part, we were looking at a glass half empty. We would like to refill it. And we would like to just put some water in it to be able to continue our crop progression. But we still have the mother nature at our back that we could rely on some of the moisture that he is delivering. And this is essentially how we will see it. And then there's also the response of the plants in order to be able to cope up with those stresses that we are allowing it. So again, as I mentioned, there are things that we would like to do on a daily basis, but at the same time, let's take back and see there are some still under management tools that we could do before actually putting the plants in. And the what we call the pre-season tool that we could have is the crop water allocator, and I'll talk a little bit about that. In season would be the crop yield predictor, and then on a daily basis, with based on the ET demand, we have the Kansas scheduler. So, what is the crop water allocator? It is actually a decision tool that uses the crop production curves. So, this is what the researchers are already developing, those production curves wherein the crop responds to every irrigation amount that you apply. And it is ideal for choosing crops and rotations just look at the net economic return to the producers, but at the same time it tries to evaluate the different crop rotations and different land combinations. As mentioned a while ago, there are now fields that are being managed differently on each split acreage that are being taught in this region. But that is it. And the net return is essentially what the farmer would see at the very end of the analysis. So this is an example of a production curve, actual production curve. So this is based on almost 8 to 10 years of data, and then we could generate curves wherein you've got here 11 inches of rainfall compared with the 25 inches of rainfall. So we've got the different response of the crop depending on the amount of water that is being applied or irrigation that is being applied. In order to use this into a software, we simplify some of the production curves. For example, corn, similar to the one that I've just shown. So we generate a very smooth curves to be able for the machines or for the computer to compute some of these items. And then I think the best feature in a crop water allocator is that you are able to split your land in different ways. You could have a whole land, a whole acreage in just one crop, or subdivide it up to four crops, in such a way that you would probably allocate your irrigation system differently in each of those parcel of acreage. You could choose different crops that you could use, including fallow. If you really need to go to fallow, then you could also include that in your split. But the beauty of this one is that you could compare each of those scenarios with each other. How does a two crop split would compare with a three crop split, or maybe a four crop split? So what's the net return? So this is essentially what the farmers is looking at, is the net return. On at the end of the season, what is the net return if I pursue this type of crop rotation, of crop split? And this is one of those tools that the farmers producers could play around before even actually planting their field to any types of crops. Once they have already planted, you say, okay, there's no more reason that I could probably change my management. There's still some way that you could actually manage it. This is the crop yield predictor. Now that you've got the crops planted, now you try to predict what is your risk. The risk analysis now is you now try to play around with the risk analysis depending on your potential irrigation schedule or the irrigation amount, the frequency, and even just the commencement and the start and the cessation of those irrigation systems. So what is your yield predicted at the end of the season if you try to manage it this way? Here's just some of the shots of the crop yield predictor, and then you could compare one result to another depending on the situation that you put in. Now, there are some oddities around us. I think this is a segue to one of my topic, but essentially, sometimes we see things differently. I have kids, and sometimes they ask me a silly question: does the French fries really came from France? Probably not, but it's. But sometimes we just assume some things, like production curves are they really smooth curves? And this is very critical because no, production curves are not really smooth curves. This is one of the production curves during one of the wettest season, and this is the production curves during one of the driest season. So same amount of water, you will have a different yield in terms of the application of water. So we've got these tools that you apply, that you use for planning before the season, but at the same time you have to manage it on a daily basis because there are differences. James has pointed out that yeah, you've got a very dry year. That's a different story if it is a wet year, and that brings me to the question of irrigation scheduling tools. And again, One type of irrigation system might not work best, but a combination of one or two triggers would actually give you more confidence in making those decisions to irrigate or not during that season. So most of our tools are compacted here in the mobile irrigation lab, and I just want to touch base with a couple of them: the HandSched, which is a software that is downloadable. But at the same time, we've got also online versions of those. And this is where the ET question is going to be very important. Yes, you could rely just on the ET numbers, but if you go out in the field, which I hope some of the producers still do, you could actually correct some of those numbers that are being computed in this scheduler and change it to what you think is actually happening in the field. Not relying just on one number, but probably a multiple number of sensors out there in the field. I think ET and soil moisture sensors or another plant type, plant canopy type, I think a combination of those sensors would be probably give you a better indication of what's actually happening in the field. And I think I featured our scheduler in Kansas, but there are still almost everyone in everyone's states there's one type of scheduler out there that are being used one way or another. Now, the take-home message: I think irrigation management is still vital in trying to conserve the water and actually increasing the production of returns of the producers. They would like to use these management tools to help them implement in their own irrigation strategy. But I think, especially with my background in extension, making those tools accessible and intuitive actually encourages them to be able to confidently, I would highlight confidently use them in their operation, because one of our research demonstration is that we've got the soil moisture sensors, but the producer was not yet confident to be able to use that number to irrigate his to manage his irrigation system. So there has to be some building of confidence in order to use these irrigation management tools in their operation, in their day-to-day operation. With that, I think that's all that I have to say. Just pointing out that yes, the research is very good in be able to answer some of my very, very detailed question, but the farmers, I think we need to be able to let them identify those tools that are going to work in their operation on a daily basis. With that, I'm open to questions. Yes.
What is the percentage of adoption of these tools by growers? Your water allocator?
Crop water allocator has just been launched in a couple of years, so we are actually trying to train some of our county agents, and in our first training for this one, we even involved some of the crop advisors, because some of the producers might not play with it, but the crop advisors or consultants might be able to work with it and see how they could probably influence the farmers in using this type of irrigation system. The CANSCED has been there for a while, and we were able to actually implement them together with the NRCS. So NRCS was able to was actually advocating the use of CANSCED in some of their programs out there in Kansas. We don't have a feedback right now, but we've heard that there are some that are actually following it very, very closely. It used to be just a checkbook, so this is actually a change of what they are using previously. In terms of the checkbook type of manually, I think they've run out of, or probably they're not using it as much as the CANSCED. Right now, we don't have a number that we could probably say.
Yeah, farmers who hire crop consultants are more likely to use ETA schedules than farmers who don't.
Yes, in extension, that's a big discussion about using the crop advisors and crop consultant. For us, they are multipliers. For us, I think they are the multipliers of the technology that are being developed in the research and extension. They are the multipliers. Farmers might not use it individually, but some of the decisions of the crop consultants are actually based on some of those irrigation schedulers. And we've heard some advisors that are saying that yes, they are using it in some way or another. So. Maybe not as if we are probably an industry that sells this product, probably that's not the best way to sell our product. But for us in extension, I think they are the multipliers, and they are the ones that are adopting this one and actually making the system work in general. Thank you very much.